Hi everyone, today I'm really happy to be speaking with Matt Perland, the creator of EnglishBanana.com and the author of the free textbook series Talk A Lot. So Matt, it's great to have you on today.
Thank you.
Thanks for meeting with us.
Okay, no problem.
First, I guess, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? When did you start teaching and how did you get into it all and where have things gone from there?
Okay, well, I started off getting into teaching English after I left university. I was at university as a mature student, and when I came out, I was looking for something that was quite secure and a job that would always be there for me. So, you know, it's difficult these days to find a job like that.
That's right.
But teaching English is one of those jobs, and if you've got a certificate, you can go pretty much anywhere in the world and do it.
That's right, yeah.
So it was appealing. I've always loved English as well. Of course, that helps. So I did a certificate, and then for several years I didn't use it, but then I had the chance to start teaching English to refugees in Derby, where I lived, in the Midlands.
Okay.
We had a lot of people coming in from the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lot of funding from the government for training for this, for training, helping them to learn English and to live in the country. So
right.
I got in that way. And then later on, we had a lot of people coming from Eastern Europe when they joined the European Union. So I was pretty busy with things connected to changes in the world, you know, world situation. So I was quite fortunate with that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you were doing a lot of work with refugees and people that were just trying to find a little bit mm-hmm. better situation. Is that what kind of led you to start EnglishBanana.com, or how did that
Well, happen? I started off I started off teaching myself to do hypertext to make a website.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested. My mum was doing a course, like an evening class, how to make your own website.
Okay.
And I was intrigued. You know, I thought, gosh, if she can do it, then I could do that. And at the time, I was interested in creative writing, and I was writing stories and scripts. And I thought I could get these online and maybe get something published or get something in the public domain, as it were.
Right.
So I built a website called Channel Z Television, which was just for fun, really. And I learned all the basics, how to make the website, how to promote it, how to do the pictures and the text. And it was so easy to do, and it was fascinating to do it. That when I started teaching properly, teaching English to the refugees, I thought, you know, I've got materials that I'm using for teaching. I could share those on a different website.
Right.
And then the idea for English Banana came along. So that was linked to the interest in web design.
And now about the Talk A Lot series. When did this come into the mix of everything? I mean, so you've started a website and you're teaching English, and then you thought, well, why don't I just go ahead and make some textbooks while I'm at it and give my students my own textbooks?
Okay, well, what's always sort of generated the worksheets and books that I've written, it's been the work that I'm doing at the time.
Okay.
So when I was teaching in the college, which was to refugees and so on, I needed plenty of worksheets, and I created my own worksheets.
Right.
Because for me, they were better than what was out there, to be honest.
Right.
But after a while, I'd already produced several books and hundreds of worksheets, and so I was looking for something a bit different. And when I came to Poland, I started teaching a small group in a place called Wuktar, which is a tiny village really in Poland.
Okay.
And from the needs of that group really grew the Talk A Lot series and the methodology, because they were quite a low-level group and they needed things which were simple to do, simple to use. And also I had a very long lesson with them. I had like almost 3-hour lessons with them.
Oh, wow.
So I really needed a lot of material to fill the time. And one of the things Talk A Lot does, it gives you tools that really can last for a long time if you need them to, rather than the little bits and bobs you get in the course book, in normal course books.
Right.
So you could, you know, you might be doing discussion questions for 45 minutes, or you might be doing them for 10 minutes.
Right.
Or you could do an information exchange activity for 1 hour, or you might do it quicker or longer even. You could develop it into a role play. So I really needed flexible materials, and that course, the first Talk A Lot course, came out of this, of teaching this group there in Wuktar. And of course I saw the potential for it, making this sort of flexible materials. And the second book was really a copy of the first, with just with different topics. But then the rest of the project has developed from there.
Okay. And you're up to how many books now? 9 or 10?
Gosh, I think I've written 11 books that have been finished. But in Talk A Lot, there is Talk A Lot Elementary 1 to 3, and then Talk A Lot Intermediate Book 1. And then I just started doing Book 2, but I've aborted this really now, because I've developed a different way to use the materials, which is explained in my new book, You Are the Course Book.
Right.
So this means I don't need to write any more books. Yeah, I mean, the point is, I've done so many Talk A Lot books, but the actual activities could be used with any sentence. You know, you can look at sentence stress with any sentence. You can build question blocks, sentence blocks from any sentence.
Right.
You can practice tenses with any sentence. You could build a role play from any situation. So there's no need for me to sit down and think, okay, what's the next topic of Talk A Lot going to be now? And then write some sentences, because this is quite artificial. Actually, real language is out there and you can use that, what's out there. So it is a bit strange to feel like I don't need to do any more.
That's exactly.
Talk A Lot books.
Hmm.
On the other hand, I'd rather use some real English, something like Realia or something from a proper book, you know, a novel or from a newspaper.
Right, right. There's, like you said, there's language all around us, and and that's really the kind of thing that people need to be spending time learning, right? Not things that people have tried to think of specifically for a course book. Because like you said, it's always going to be a little bit artificial, even if you're really good at it. So that brings us to, you know, your methodology and what you think really improves a person's ability to speak English. What is your goal there?
Again, it all comes from doing the Talk A Lot work, which started, you know, 5 years ago, just about. And that was all about this, finding the stress in the word, you know, separating the words in a sentence into content words and function words.
Right.
Then looking at the content words and finding the stress syllables, in one in each. And then stringing them together in the sentence, and to make the sound spine, which is the sort of the stressed vowel sounds in the sentence.
Right.
And then when we've got this, we can look at the function words, the weak syllables, if you like, and then we can reduce them further. So we might make contractions. We might take away the vowel sound in some function words. For example, in the we are, we might change we are to contraction we're.
That's right.
Now, or we might be able to change this even further and reduce it more, and just so that it's we.
Right.
You know, in the sentence, we are going to the shop, I would say probably we're going to the shop.
Right.
We're going to the shop, to the. And so a lot of my work now is getting students to say things like to the, instead of to the.
right. Instead of pronouncing it so clearly that it's not natural at all, is it?
Yeah. So, but this kind of work is not in the course books. The course books, which of course I have to use in some of my jobs, from the main publishers, I have to use some of these. But you don't find this work because in the course book it has to be full of text and pictures, just to justify itself as a book. So we don't see a lot of pronunciation work. We don't see anything about the stressed vowel sound, how important that is.
Right.
We never see the schwa sound. My students say, what's this, you know, schwa sound? What's that all about?
Right.
Well, it's the most common sound in English. What? But what? We've never heard of that. Well, it's not in our books.
Right.
When did you last see that in the course book?
The pronunciation section in most of the books that I use for junior and senior high school students, you know, there's a very tiny section at the end of the page, and it's sectioned off in a way that it's the last thing you're going to get to.
Yes.
And there's no more
yes.
time in the class.
Yes.
Why even bother putting that there? Because the students blow over it. They're already tired. And now you're trying to just introduce a completely new topic in the last, 2 minutes of class. So.
Yeah, and anyway, the teacher doesn't understand it either. The teacher won't understand it. Even the native speakers won't understand it. I had to teach myself to do this. Yes, I was born, I was growing up, I was able to speak English naturally like a native. But I didn't know how or why I did it. But I've had to learn that. So my job now is trying to help people with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, the course book is a reading book, and they're full of text, but they're not real text. They're not genuine English. They're just written by some guy somewhere in New York City or Tokyo, whatever.
Right.
And these are, why not use a real text for the reading bits? And you make your own questions for it, or the students can write their own questions.
Right.
So this is what's in my book now, the You Are the Course Book. The frustration with these course books and how we don't need them. Either the students can provide the text by their own imagination, or we can find from anywhere. I can look online and find something in 2 minutes that we can use to practice grammar, vocabulary, stress, pronunciation, connected speech, role-playing, free practice, writing, everything.
Right.
Without any need to buy £20 or £25 course book.
That's right, yeah. But in this equation, the one thing that is common, it sounds like, is you do need a teacher who understands this method and this way of teaching, right? There's not really any way to get around that, because if I'm learning English and I want to know how to speak something on the screen that I've found, that's going to be really difficult, isn't it?
You know, I think for me, what this opens up is more of a job in teacher training than in writing course books. So this, yes, you're absolutely right, and you hit the nail on the head. We need better trained teachers who know grammar and who can teach grammar, all the tenses, teachers who can answer the questions, teachers who can teach sentence stress and connected speech. How many teachers can stand up and say, okay, I know the features of connected speech, and I know what they are, and these are what they do?
Right.
I don't know any other teachers who know that. I'm not being big-headed because I've had to learn it, but it's never anywhere. It's never anywhere in the books connected speech. But that's how we speak. That is how we speak, isn't it? We don't speak word by word. Hello, how are you today? Right. I'm very well, thank you. But that's how the students speak.
Right.
But of course, they meet English, real English, and they say, oh, I can't understand any English. My English is getting worse. My lessons are a waste of time. I'll never get through to the next level. And so they don't bother, and they just give up. Meanwhile, the course book owners, the publishers, have made their money from the low levels.
That's right.
And that's it. They're happy and job done. But have they learned, have they taught English? Not really.
Yeah, yeah. You're much further along than I am as far as connected speech.
Well, I mean, I've worked through it. I've sort of, by doing the books, I've really worked my way through it and learned everything. Last year I finished the Talklot Foundation course that was about teach how to teach pronunciation. And nothing has changed since then. That still, I think, holds true. That's all valid.
Right.
But now I just realize, well, I don't need to make bespoke things, bespoke materials, because students and teachers have got the resources already to do it, and they don't need any interactive whiteboards. They don't need a laptop. Yes, you need a board or even some paper on the wall, but this is low tech, you know, this is pretty low tech. Some of the tools I've had to make for myself, like the IPA, I don't think it's acceptable for this kind of work.
No.
So I've had to invent another version that uses the Roman alphabet.
Right.
Like here, I've given you this word here, application form. So I would write this on the board in this form, and the students look at the syllables, and they look at the stressed syllable. And then we look at what is weak, you know, how we've made weaker, which letters are silent in the spelling. And there's so much we can look at, and it's rewarding because for the students, it's absolutely new. And for most people, when I'm telling them about the glottal stop, oh, what's that? You know, they're writing it down because it's absolutely new to them. It's not anywhere in their experience of learning English.
That's right.
The fact that we focus on one stressed syllable, and the rest of it we freely mangle,
right,
and reduce and change the form, as long as we keep the stress intact, and this sort of the series of stresses in the sentence. So, I'm trying to get now with my students, my private students. I'm trying to get them into a routine of doing this work so that they're not just, everything's not always new to them, but they're getting into it and they're getting on with it, you know, and it's getting easier for them.
Right.
Rather than everything looks brand new, because we don't do it very often. So meanwhile, in my other jobs, like when I have to use the course book, I'm trying to use some of these techniques with the course book material,
right?
Which is what I would call the commando approach, where, you know, you're going in, to all intents and purposes, you're doing the course book, because many students complain if you don't do the course book.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, but you're also doing the things which are in the Talk-a-Lot method, which is the sentence stress, the connected speech, the questions, the tenses building. You know, I have students who are going into intermediate level, and you say to them, well, can you tell me a question using, I don't know, present perfect? No, and they can't, you know. Or what would be a question form, present simple? And chances are they don't know, yet in their exams and their test results, they're doing really well.
Right.
So this kind of work really helps as well with grammar. And it does focus on grammar quite a lot.
Right, right. There are a lot of people now that are saying, no, don't waste your time learning grammar. It'll come naturally. Should we be teaching really strict grammar in our classrooms, or should we be introducing it and then just giving a lot of different examples?
You know, my approach with the grammar is certainly in the method shown in this in You Are the Course book, is to focus first of all on the text. Get the text either from the students or from somewhere else. And from the text, we can look at vocabulary, grammar, pronunciation, writing, and so forth. Yeah, what I want to focus on is the mistakes that the students are making right now. So what they do is the students write their sentences on the board, they make a story or a text, and then I say to them, okay, where are the mistakes here? And they work in pairs and they find the mistakes. So it's usually a variety of grammar mistakes, but it's usually the same kind of things, like articles are missing. It's maybe the wrong tense, they're using present simple for now, you know, instead of present continuous.
Right.
It's usually the usual suspects in grammar.
That's
so we fix these and we focus on these with them, and then if it occurs again, we can recall it, you know, we can go back to it. But it comes naturally out of whatever they produce.
That's right.
Or what's in the text. But in every couple of lessons in this method, we will do revision of the verb forms. So maybe four or five different tenses, and yes, I want them to know, for example, what is auxiliary verb in present simple. I want them to know how to make a question in present perfect. I want them just to know it like any fact. But the other grammar points, I think, come naturally out of what they're doing.
Right.
And if the students are awake and if they're writing down these points, then they should get to know their own mistakes, and then they can address them. But also, don't forget, for homework, they're doing things from worksheets, they're doing things on CDs or online or in other course books.
Right.
But all of that can be done at home on their own, so they will come across different grammar points. So my work is sort of get the text first, and then from this text we do everything else, and it all comes out, and it's kind of a unified process.
Right. Have you noticed some improvements in the way your students are speaking?
I mean, I've been teaching the talk a lot for, like I said, nearly 5 years.
Right.
Not at this sort of level, but certainly it's been beginning and starting from then. And I want to change it around a bit and not say about the students, but about the teacher. How is it for me? Because I'm a little bit selfish. I want to enjoy the lessons in the class.
Right.
And my feeling is if I enjoy it and if I have enthusiasm because I'm enjoying it, the students will get much more out of it as well. So I can say when I'm teaching my materials, talk a lot, and now this new kind of process, I'm absolutely on fire in the classroom. I'm really into it. Yeah, I'm so into it. The students are surprised and they're sometimes laughing, but they're also getting involved and getting into it. But when I'm teaching the course book from one of the big publishers, then I simply can walk into the classroom, write on the board, you know, page 18, grammar exercise 1 to 4, and then we'll check it. And they work in silence, you know, do the book, and then do it quickly as you can, you know. because this kind of work can be done at home. Most of the course book, I would say 80%, can be done at home on your own. So when I'm teaching properly how I want to teach, it's better for me, it's better for everybody. But when we're just doing the course book, then, you know, we're just, it's just money, it's just a job for money.
Right.
It's not any sort of passion. But I don't want to be flippant, so to answer your question really properly, of course I will say they're improving. I'm not going to say they're getting worse. I can't give you any evidence at the moment, but my plan really now is to kind of teach this for the next year, and right. then this time next year maybe publish some results and something that does show some evidence of some improvements. But the students I'm working with, they really are surprising me how they are able to come up with ideas and stories and imaginative things.
Right.
And the writing is improving. But of course, that's only my subjective opinion. But like I'm saying, hopefully next year I will produce some material, like a follow-up book even.
Right, but that would be great. I would love to see it.
For now it is new. Like I said, in the book it's something, it's just at the beginning, but this is like a manifesto, what I want to do.
Right.
And it is working so well, but mainly because when I'm doing it, when I'm following the seven stages or seven steps here, I'm really into it, and I'm enthusiastic, and that the students can see that, and they're working really well, and the resistance is zero at the moment.
That's great. And you know, like you said, it could be how the teacher is feeling. You know, it could change the environment of the classroom so much. And I've never met an English teacher who enjoys teaching from any course book. I've just never heard that. So I really hope that a lot more teachers out there try your new method here. And see how it works for them.
That's right. I mean, when I started out, I was teaching from my own materials, but we've got sucked into this sort of habit, really, where language school gets suckered by a publishing company, and they give them a load of books, and then they have to buy a load of materials or interactive CDs and stuff. And this stuff is, you just don't need it. It's so unnecessary.
Right.
Imagine, you know, 100 years ago, we didn't have all these course books, and yet people still learned English, Greek, Latin, whatever. They still were learning.
Right.
The biggest rip-off, I think, is the interactive board, where you're paying hundreds, even thousands of pounds for these materials.
Wow.
And half the time doesn't work even. Just need a pen and a board, you know, one normal whiteboard. So, of course, I hope people will take on board this method, but I'm not optimistic because there's so much money in this, in the publishing.
Yeah, that's without saying. It's been around forever.
But, you know, teachers, generally, English teachers seem to be creative people who want to do their own work, but they're just given, handed the course book and said, okay, yes, you can do your own materials, but just make sure you do the course book. Because it's what the parents expect, it's what the students expect.
Exactly.
So you might as well say, okay, go and work in the factory and putting things on the production line, because it's the same kind of work, just the students are on the production line.
Exactly, yeah. But let's bring it back a little bit to the speaking aspect for the students, because it's got to be the number one thing that I hear. You know, people just they really want to improve speaking. They feel like traditional education is letting them down. You know, they can read and they can write all right, but listening is, you know, so-so. But speaking, they're just afraid to speak, and they're hesitant, and they don't know how to express themselves when it comes to actually speaking. So, given all that we've talked about so far, what are some actionable things that someone can start doing today with their teacher or alone that you think will kind of help them with that struggle?
I mean, of course, I have to say, I would download my book, free
exactly.
book.
Well, I would say that too, yeah.
You're the course book. And just look through it. There's loads of activities and ideas in there that we can do for the most of the process for this kind of lesson is done with a partner or with a group or as a whole group in using speaking skills.
Right.
Even if you're learning grammar, you know, if they're checking a text for grammar mistakes, they're speaking together in English. But there are dedicated times for free practice where they can do discussion or role-playing or a project or a debate. The problem is students haven't got the time to do this in their lesson time.
Right.
You know, they've got to do the course book. I would challenge anybody listening, take your course book and go through it, take a double page spread and just find any speaking activities.
Hmm.
And I even went through mine and I marked out pages, parts of the page which were interactive, which had to be done in the class, and then other parts which you could do as an individual at home. That was all reading, all grammar, all vocabulary, and all listening activities can be done at home on your own. And the course book is a rip-off because this is not an interactive product.
Right.
It's not for class time. This is for learning at home. This is for individuals. If you're reading in the class, then you're using your mind, using the time individually. You're not working with anyone else to read.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's just a waste of time. If you're not doing interactive things in your lessons, if you're just doing the course book, then vote with your feet, find a different school, or find a one-to-one teacher, or find an online teacher, and do something interactive, because most of the time we have to do the book, yeah, 2 pages per 90 minutes or whatever, and these activities can be done at home. You're reading from the book a long text. What's that got to do with anything? Reading is an individual activity. Nobody can enter my mind and watch me reading. Nobody can. Reading is something I do on my own. But yeah, we have to do it in the class. Why? Because it's there. So if you're the teacher, you could say, okay, I'm going to dictate the text and you have to listen and write down certain things.
Right.
Or I'm going to approach the text in a different way so that it's interactive, so that students are working together. But I would say to people who are paying for courses, if you're paying but you're not satisfied because you're not working with a partner and you're not speaking in the lesson, go to the manager and tell them, because the most important thing for them is your money.
Right.
And if you're not happy, take the money somewhere else. And the same with the course books as well. But my opinion, we don't need them. But I've been in these lessons. I've done this kind of work. I've been there and done it. I'm still doing it day by day. I'm trying to make my boring lessons more interesting.
Right.
Sometimes I will say, okay, do all the quick writing activities in the book and do them quickly, and then we'll have time for something else, you know. I did it this week. We did 45 minutes and they finished all the book material. And then 45 minutes we'd spent with functions of English, creating dialogues. So they left the room happy because they'd been doing dialogues and stuff with functions, you know,
right,
asking and whatever. But at the same time, I know they've done the material from the syllabus. Yeah, they've done the course book. So nobody can complain to the manager.
Right.
But all the same, I'm still torn. I've compromised myself, and I'm torn between what I have to do and what I want to do.
Hmm.
And you know, but of course we all need to make money at the end of the day.
That's true, but you do what you can. You do what you can. And, you know, I think part of our job is just to create that atmosphere again, mm-hmm. where people use their mind in an interactive way to really enjoy English. I mean, I teach in a private school here in Japan, and you know, I see it from junior high school. We're already just closing that open mind space, and we're just forcing them down into okay, sit there and be quiet and do what you're told. And no one's really telling them anything. They're just saying, okay, read this page, and then let's repeat this vocabulary together, and then we'll go into the next page and see what happens there. And no one's rewarded in that. The teacher isn't. Mm-hmm. The students aren't getting anything out of it. And so they go on, and the lucky ones rediscover some kind of passion or desire or motivation to learn English later on down the road.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying to you. The point is, the publishing companies have already made their money at the low levels. So if you go on to do advanced level, this is what's in my story, the story of Baba in the book. You know, if you get on to the higher level and you become an interpreter even for the UN or something, then you are an aberration, you are an exception, an exceptional person, yeah? Most people will give up around about intermediate level. But by that time, they've already been through the beginners, elementary, pre-intermediate, intermediate. And the course books have shifted in volume. They've all sold. And they've made the money. Now, if you're a kind of freak and you do a high level study, then fine, that's fine. But you still won't get the pronunciation. You might have the best grammar, the best vocabulary, but the pronunciation will still evade you because it's so difficult. And that is why there'll still be a few rich pickings at the top. For some of the course book publishers. But this is what I'm saying. It's such a strange position to be in, and it's taken me a long time to understand this. But now I understand it, I think there's no going back, because like my students yesterday have been doing some really good work, and I'm saying to them, you know, it's not in the course book. And they're saying, yeah, we know that. And but I'm giving them the course book to do for homework, yeah? Do the reading, whatever you want. But in our lessons, we're using the time constructively. And one of my main things in life is time well spent. And if I haven't had time well spent, then it's just a waste of time. And I hate these lessons where you just going through the syllabus, going through the motions without any sort of creativity, because that's why we got into this sort of field to start with.
Yeah. There are very few teachers I know that use their creative abilities, and the ones that do are my role models. You know, they're doing a great job.
But that's incredibly sad if you're saying that, because then if you're going to be a teacher that doesn't use any creativity, then anybody could do that job. And there is a certain method of teaching English where they boast, even, you don't need to be a teacher to teach this method. Anybody can do it. Any native speaker can just read from the book and do it.
That's right.
But I'm not going to mention by name, but my way of thinking is, well, teacher engaged and students engaged, teacher bored, student bored, and that seems to be a fact. But if I can have my students engaged and myself engaged, then we don't want the lesson to end, and we're not looking at the clock. Or if we're looking at the clock, we're thinking, gosh, we haven't got enough time to do everything,
right?
So we need to continue next time,
right?
So it's really a different mindset, I think.
I'm really excited to hear more about what you end up doing throughout the year and how this works out for you. I guess we should go ahead and wrap things up.
Okay.
From the learner's perspective, what would you say they should take away from this?
I mean, my point with spoken English is the student should be able to look at any sentence and identify which syllables are stressed. Okay, if they can see the stressed syllables, then they can see the stressed vowel sound in that syllable.
Right.
And if they've got these sounds, then the rest of the syllables can be weak and can be quiet. Yeah. And generally, they will have good pronunciation. If they're getting the wrong vowel sound on the stress, if they've got the wrong vowel sound, then we can have a mistake and just confusion, like what was that? What did you mean by that? Right. And so we don't understand, yeah? We don't understand something. So stressed vowel sounds on the stressed syllables. But also the other point we had is about the lesson time. If you're not speaking, if you want to speak, if you're paying to speak, but you're not speaking in the lessons and you're not satisfied, then go somewhere else and find somebody who will teach properly, because you should be working with a partner, with a group, speaking, interacting, solving problems, doing grammar, vocabulary, pronunciation, writing, everything,
right,
but in an interactive way.
Exactly.
And if you're not doing that, then you're getting shortchanged, and your money is the most important factor for these owners. So take your money somewhere else, and they might change their ways.
Right, right. That's a great point. Even go out and find a language partner on Skype, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
Email them your book and say,
sure,
you know, this is the way I think it should be done. And let's just try to have creative sessions together.
And I've taught this with all levels, and it's not just for high levels. And even people at some of the lowest levels can appreciate that English is stressed, and it's not like Japanese, like blah, 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 every syllable the same.
Mm.
Yeah, but even low-level people can work out, well, okay, this is a vowel sound, this is a consonant sound. And you can do this at any level. So don't be thinking, oh, I'm not good enough to do that sort of work. This can be achieved. It is achievable. And I've tried it with all kinds of levels.
Right.
Of course, you can do more with higher levels, yeah? But still achievable.
Exactly. To everyone who is listening, the point is, go over to EnglishBanana.com and download all of your books and read those.
If I could just say that I would focus on, I know it's a lot of books to download, but most important is foundation course and the new and the latest book.
Right.
So I would start with foundation course and the latest book. Find a teacher to help you, like you're saying, and get involved in that way. And just even save your money that you would otherwise spend on a course book, and spend it on something else, you know, take a bunch of flowers for your wife or something.
Exactly. Well, it's been great having you on here, Matt. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I look forward to hearing more about your projects.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for the opportunity.